Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there. Welcome to New Life Live. So glad you're with us here today. Joining me, Dr. Jill Hubbard is right there, and Mylon Yurkovich right by her side. And we're taking your phone calls, and we're glad you're with us today. Guys, how are you doing?
Doing good.
Doing well, thank you. And how are you, Steve?
Yes.
Excellent. Really, on a scale of 1 to 10, right in there at about 8.5. So, feeling good about it. Because a lot of days, you know, it's a 7. So, that's not good.
But today's here's a better day.
Yeah, here's what we're going to do. We're going to write to the calls. We've got people lined up here. And so, I'm going to start this program off with a phone call. We're going to try to get to as many as we can. Let's go to Heather, Washington, D.C. Hello, Heather. How are you today? And how could we help?
I am well. I have a 22-year-old college grad art major living at home who has been diagnosed with depression, anxiety, social anxiety, ADHD, worked part-time for about 4 months and then went to full-time but wasn't making enough to support herself and was really just overwhelmed by, it was retail, overwhelmed by how nasty people were over the holidays and stuff. So in January, she quit with our blessing. And she's still looking for a full-time job. But she's here's the thing. She's reluctant to go to counseling, and she desperately needs it. We did get her to see the doctor, and she is trying some meds. She really wanted an ADHD med, and the doctor put her on Wellbutrin, which says it's off-label for ADHD, but cause she thought, well, maybe that's causing the anxiety and depression. Who knows? Just trying to start with the lowest common denominator. But I'm not sure how much, as the parent, I should push and how much I should step back, because she is living at home, and she is applying for jobs, but it's really difficult to find something that will support her. So I'm in that really tricky situation where I'm like, I feel like I should be telling her, I think I should be telling her to go to therapy every week, even though she's very reluctant. So that's where we are.
Okay, here's an approach, and I know when I say this, you're going to be saying, oh, well, I've been trying that. But to not pressure or push, but to encourage and motivate and inspire. One of the things you could do on the inspiration side is, hey, let's go together and let's see, you know, what together we might learn from somebody that we'd go see together.
Okay.
I want to learn. I want to know how to help you best, and so let's go. And so you pick someone, and then, you know, maybe that goes well. I don't know how it's going to go, but then maybe she can then, once she sees that somebody is helpful and trustworthy, she can take it from there. Mylon, what are you thinking here?
Well,
and Jill?
Wait, I have a question. Heather, what's her reluctance?
Well, she's been to see a counselor before. She's got one that she liked. She didn't like doing the video counseling through the pandemic, and she's not 100% certain if they're seeing people yet or not, but then she's too overwhelmed to call them and ask them if they're seeing people personally, in person or not.
Well, some of it may be a function of her depression and anxiety, right, where she's too overwhelmed and gets paralyzed. And that may be where you can be really helpful and step in and help her to do some of the tasks that feel so overwhelming to get her the help, right? So that could be at least a first step, I think. Because that becomes the obstacle then. Making the call, it becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. Right, and you don't want that to get in the way of her actually getting some help, especially if she liked the person.
Right.
So we'll go to a break, and we'll hear from Myla and try to give you some help here. I'm glad you called. Just trying to get somebody that needs help to get help. It's a big, big dilemma. We'll be back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here. And we were just talking about that, well, Butrin has different impact, different effect on different folks. And sometimes it does increase anxiety. Now, is this being prescribed, I might have missed this, by a psychiatrist or a general practitioner? Who's prescribed this medication?
General practitioner.
Okay.
General practitioner.
You might want to take her to a psychiatrist, yep, to at least start out.
Okay.
Because that's their specialty in terms of being expert diagnosticians. And there are also those that specialize in ADD. Because I'm thinking, just from my experience, that an ADD med, you know, could be calming and activating for her. But
right.
And might be more effective.
Yeah, and especially, see, I mean, I think that most general practitioners, they have a pretty good handle on all of this, but when it doesn't work, then you really need to bring in the specialist there.
Yeah, and nothing against GPs. No. They're awesome. But
but true attention deficit disorder, or ADHD, you take the stimulant and the effect is calming, if you take the right one, mm-hmm, combination, whatever. And it's kind of weird,
right,
to be even think that it works that way, but it sure does work that way. Mylon, you have a thought here you want to share?
Well, let me go on a different track with you, Heather.
Well, you usually do.
Yeah.
So let's hear.
We're just getting this stuff out of the way for you, Mylon.
Yeah. Well, listen, by the way, highly anxious people can also appear to have ADD or ADHD.
True. That's true.
You see, they struggle to know what to do next and get organized, and they're overwhelmed, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep.
But you told us some really important things at the very beginning of the call. You said she was an art major, and you told us that she was shocked by the rudeness of people, and so she quit. In other words, her quitting was a protest that people aren't nice. And so when you're in an artists are some of the most tortured people in the world because their artistic expression and reality don't go well together. There's a lot of idealism,
right,
in artistry.
Mm-hmm.
Music, theater, dance, different types of art. And so, and then she's also probably an introvert because,
yeah,
artists need to have quiet and solitude. And so your daughter is adjusting to the realities of life. And the adult adjustment is one of the hardest adjustments. And there's not enough said about it. Another way it's described is called adulting. And they've also defined adolescence as stretching out all the way to 26, 27, 28 years old. So the brain does not have full maturation. So you take a brain that's still under construction, you take a person who has been in a more introverted, quiet world and who has been artistically expressing herself, and then you throw her
into retail.
You throw in D.C. nonetheless.
Oh,
you throw,
gosh,
her into a massive metropolis,
yeah,
you know, and retail, and it's going to be overwhelming. And I think one of the things she has to do is begin to look for jobs that allow her to just gradually move into her adjusting to adult realities. And I think it's important to really see where she is developmentally and help her understand that. At some level, she's been protected from the world, Heather.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And now, then all of a sudden, boom, I'm there. And mm-hmm, it absolutely knocks her off her balance.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that, yeah, transition, right, from college to the real world, it's a rough one.
It's really
hard.
You
don't feel equipped for it.
No.
Right?
Uh-uh.
So,
but it all depends upon what you've been doing for employment,
mm-hmm,
all along through, mm-hmm, that. And what your experience in the real world out there. Mm-hmm. And college, school can be sheltering from the real world. And mm-hmm. so, you know, Heather, your daughter really needs to understand where she is in a developmental thing, and it's shocking to her. Then it comes the necessity of her learning to integrate good and bad because she goes, these people are rude, so mm-hmm. I quit. Well, it's a good world. There's many wonderful things, but there's also a lot of tragedy in every single day.
Right.
And does a person have the ability to accept and understand and integrate those two concepts that every day I'm going to feel good and bad, every day I'm going to encounter good and bad experiences, and I'm going to have good and bad overalls. You know, it was really funny how Steve earlier said, well, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm an 8.5. So every day we vary.
Mm-hmm.
And that's reality.
Right.
But we don't have to be miserable every day.
No.
And if we're getting really good counsel that we look forward to, not that we dread.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've got a counselor that I just love being with the guy. And we're doing deep work because I'm willing to do it because I love being with the guy. But if you hate the person, that's not going to work.
No.
But then also, sometimes we got to get this brain adjusted. This mm-hmm. organ needs to have a better shot at things. And medication is one of the ways that that happens for certain people. So we want to be willing to look at it. We don't want to be on medication we don't need, but we also don't want to withhold it or discourage it for people that do need it. All right. Heather, let me send you How We Love, and you look at that and forgiving our fathers and mothers and see if that can help build that relationship with a 22-year-old. I think it can give you some great insight. Let's go to Michelle from Columbia, Maryland. WAVA is the station. Hello, Michelle. How are you today? How can we help?
I'm doing well. Actually, I'm going to piggyback on the previous caller because my daughter, who's an artist, she's 18 years old. She, you know, has the panic attack, social anxiety, depression. And for as long as I can remember, the last few months, she's just been in her room watching stuff on her phone and her computer, et cetera, et cetera. So she's not really living. You know, you can't get her motivated to do anything. Every job that she has had, she's gotten fired because she's had panic anxiety mm-hmm. and just freezes up. So trying to send her into the job world is really hard. But mm-hmm. I feel like she's not moving anywhere. She's not mm-hmm. growing.
Yeah. Okay.
And my husband and I just don't really know what to do.
Mm. Okay. Well, Mylon, you want to get us started here on it's not easy being an adult. We've said that, and boy, here's another situation where that's true.
Well, Michelle, I'm sad for you because this is really hard, mm-hmm. as is, you know, Heather's daughter as well. And, you know, when we have any member of our family that's immobilized and frozen, that is hard for anybody, whether it's an immobilized parent, an immobilized spouse, an immobilized teen. And how do we break them out of that immobilized place? I appreciate you said I'm hitchhiking here on Heather. And yes, I have a daughter also who is an artist. And so we have sensitivities and we have shock and we have paralysis, and panic causes her to freeze, and therefore she can't perform. And so, you know, what you're going to have to do is really have an intervention with your daughter that says you can't stay in your room all day. This is how things like agoraphobia develop, where people narrow their world smaller and smaller and smaller. And what it does is they internally and emotionally constrict as well. And so their tolerances to handle and manage mm-hmm. the bigger aspects of life are even more greatly reduced. So you're going to have to do something. It's going to involve other people, you and your husband, but your daughter needs to have exposure gradually that doesn't completely overwhelm her, but, you know, realizing that just getting out of her room may overwhelm her.
Right. Like, maybe you start going on a walk with her mm-hmm. every day. Mm-hmm. It's a great chance to talk, mm-hmm. and it gets her out, and it gets her body moving. Mm-hmm. Because when people get in this state, it is really difficult. Mm-hmm. And it seems so simple, like people around them don't really get it. Mm-hmm. And so you want to really try to understand so she feels like you get it, mm-hmm. but then you want to help draw her out because she can't do it for herself. It's not just stubbornness. It's like she's frozen in fear. And going into that more primitive brain where it's fight, flight, or freeze, right? And so to draw her out in little ways so that she can start to feel more okay outside of her room is a way to start now, to move
yeah.
her.
And I think, Michelle, you need a third option other mm-hmm. than you stay in your room or you go to work.
Right.
And the third option could be a kind of a halfway living situation where there's some therapy and some work. It could be doing some mission work with some folks that are used to people on the mission field, you know, having some difficulties and struggles, but I would try to come up with some other options than just you're going to go out there and get that job or you're going to stay in your bed and see if you could come up with. You may not be able to find an option, but I think it'd be great to look for.
She's 18, not 22, like Heather's daughter. And so what's her next step out of high school, mm-hmm. right? Is there an art school she might mm-hmm. want to go to or a Bible college or something mm-hmm. that gives her a new community but doesn't feel like she's just being thrown to the wolves?
And then maybe the whole family volunteers at a rescue mission.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Mm-hmm. We all go together and we serve people food that are disadvantaged or we do things for them. And we see that we are capable of helping, but it also helps us to help others. Mm-hmm. And the power that comes back to us,
right.
Jill
and
Steve.
People more disadvantaged, right?
Yeah, but the power that comes back to us for being helpers.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's amazing. Mm-hmm. And so that would also desensitize her a little bit that how do I stare at an ugly world? How do I stare at pain?
Mm-hmm.
And we have to get used to that.
No, I think that's really good. And so I hope this is helpful that, you know, maybe you're the creative problem solver, not just the this or that problem solver. Maybe there's some way that you can come up with some other options that might be acceptable. I love seeing that whole family get together. But, you know, maybe there is an education system that would just be perfect for her, you know. Maybe mm-hmm. that's the way to go. All right, let's go to Sherry, Lake Forest, California. KKLA is the station. Hey, Sherry, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing great. How are you?
Excellent. How can we help you today? We'd love to be able to, if we could.
So I have been listening to you for 30 years, and I've never called because I seem to get all my answers all the time by just listening. But I have a big issue.
Okay. What is it?
I've had a friendship for 25 years. We met through our children who were best friends in third grade at a Christian school. Mm-hmm. So our relationship was based on Christianity. We had a real connection. And it's been a wonderful. Our girls have stayed best friends. We've stayed best friends. All of a sudden, COVID hit 2020, and she stopped talking to me and wasn't calling, texting, anything. So I reached out to her, and she said, "What? Everything's fine. I'm not mad or anything." And I said, "Come on. Let's be honest. Something's going on." Pushed her. She just wouldn't say anything. I just thought you'd been busy. Then I come to look on social media, on Twitter. This is what you wrote. A good friend of 20 years has decided to end our friendship because she sees me as the enemy. She is a co-follower of QAnon, which I don't even know what that is, an anti-vaxxer and Trump supporter, even after the Capitol situation. I am so saddened by how much she's changed. I was shocked. I had no idea. And my question to you guys is, what do I do about this? She will deny it if I say anything about it. She acts really sweet to me, to my face. That's when I talk to her, I love you, I love you. But she's saying all this stuff on social media about me. I didn't even know what QAnon was, so I had to look it up. A cult follower. I mean, I'm just like devastated over why she would say that about me.
Okay, so we're going to give you some help right after this. We'll go to the break, and I'm really glad that you called. How sad that someone would turn on you like that.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, Steve Arterburn here. Really glad that you are with us here, and... Jill, let's have you start with Sherry.
Sherry,
you
had a great question. Yeah, I had a question. Do you know she was talking about you?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
The first thing I do want to mention that I didn't mention is I have no social media at all. So she knows that I can't see it, but I have kids who have social media. I've never been on Facebook. I've never been on anything. I just don't like any of that, so I don't go on it. And her and I have never talked about politics ever in 25 years. Vaccinations, I don't even know where that came up because we've never discussed that. None of these views are things I've ever even said. I'm the most, I don't share my opinions with anyone but my husband. So this is shocking for me. So, yes, I do know it's me because I didn't read you. There's many others that I didn't go into.
Okay.
But she did post that we have two daughters that met at the school that are the same age. You know, I know it's me. Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay, you have enough evidence.
I talked to her on the phone. Yeah, she said, yeah, believe me, I would never, yes, it's
right.
me.
Okay. But she, yeah, and it must feel really bad to have her draw so many conclusions about you that aren't necessarily maybe things you think.
I didn't. Well, I had to Google Kleon or whatever. I don't even know what that was.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it's a satanic worship. I'm appalled. Like, I can't even imagine that. I don't know why she would accuse me of that. The only thing I can think of is maybe she wants sympathy from strangers online. I don't know. I know she's upset. We do have different views, and I think she's denied the faith now. She's not a Christian. Mm-hmm. So I think she's not happy with my faith, and I think that's kind of what the problem is.
Okay, so she's rejecting you or Jesus in you along with her own rejection.
Yeah. Right, because of my lifestyle.
Okay.
Right, yeah.
Well, let me throw something out to you. Mylan, go ahead.
Sherry, you also have to ask the question, when people have unusual reactions, we have to stop and ask the question, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what happened to her. Now, COVID has affected a lot of people in a lot of strange and various ways because we've been isolated. We have been frightened, and we've been, in many cases, people have lost jobs, businesses. Their whole worlds have been turned upside down. And so, in many cases, people have been traumatized severely by what has gone on in this world in the last year. And so what happened to her that she's flipping into such a strong adversarial position? And then this
fear.
Has also been, of course, fear. And yes, that's a part of it. And then politically, this has been an amazingly polarizing year, one of the most polarizing years I've ever witnessed in the last several years. I should say the last 4 years. But and there's been just a lot of struggle socially, and things are getting harder and harder and harder. And I would reach out to her less in a debate mode, and more in a friend. What's happened? What's going on? Where do you hurt inside? And
maybe you need to do it in writing since you have tried to approach her verbally.
Point. Yeah.
And you could write out that you've noticed a shift in your friendship and you can't quite put your finger on it. And you're trying to reflect if there's anything you've done or if anything has happened to upset her, but that you've noticed this. And you might even say that you've gotten wind of some things on social media, and it's very confusing to you. Maybe even naming some of the things you've really appreciated about the relationship and how sad you are.
Mm.
Well, here's what I would do. Yeah, I would I would take and write down the things that she's gotten wrong. And I would write it. Maybe you text it to her through your kids or whatever. But I would tell her that I really care about you. I enjoyed all the times that we've had together. These have been really rough months. And for some reason, there's some things that you've said here. And I just want to clarify them for you. So you're not being mean or anything, but just saying, I didn't even know what QAnon was until I saw that you had posted about it. I had to look it up. So I'm not a follower. I don't have any political judgment against whatever you think. And you know, just clarify for her. And so I just wanted to be sure you knew these are my true thoughts about this stuff. But my feelings are that you're a wonderful human being. I don't know what or why this has happened, but I'm here. That's all. I would just say that. I'm here. I care about you. Mm-hmm. I hope at some point that we could do some of the things we used to do together again, you know, and just be encouraging, because I think either she's flipped on you or something tragic has happened to her. I don't know what it is. But I do think any kind of arguing or debating is going to really be a waste of time. And it's missing an opportunity.
Love.
It's missing an opportunity, yeah, to show who you really are. And you are a caring, loving person. All right. Let me.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for calling. I'm going to send you a little copy of Healing is a Choice. Hope that that is something that you enjoy. And for all of you, you know, Healing is a Choice helped a lot of people over the years. 10 choices to facilitate the greatest chance that God could do something miraculous right there in your life. You can get it at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Gift of any amount, and we're going to send you a copy of the Mediterranean Love Plan. It's a great way to restore intimacy in any marriage.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of 7 books, including Growth Has No Boundaries by Drs. John Townsend and Henry Cloud, Take Your Life Back by Steve Arterburn and Dr. Dave Stoop, and the Emotional Freedom Workbook. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Well, we're back. Steve Arterburn here, and Larry Sonnenberg has joined us in the studio.
Hey, Steve. How you doing today?
Doing all right, Larry. And what do you have for us today? Wow. Always love what you have. I mean, every other time I love what you have. And what's it going to be today?
Well, a week from Saturday is the Restore Workshop.
Yes.
And I know, ladies, that there are many of you, and whoever you are, I'm speaking straight at you right now. You need to come to this workshop. Your husband has betrayed you in one way or another. Might be an emotional affair, might be going to massage parlors and prostitutes, a regular affair, but you need to come to this. And I want to give you a hint of what another woman experienced. She said, "I was skeptical at best. I thought I would be railroaded into accepting my husband's loss of sexual integrity and addiction. It couldn't be further from the truth. In the first 5 minutes, you put me at ease by saying that this is my journey. No pressure about preserving the marriage. This is for me to learn about forgiveness and healing for my family and me. Obviously, no one wants a divorce. It let me look into myself and my life. My facilitator and group were simply wonderful. Each person shared their story and perspective. We have a strong bond that will continue post-workshop. There are five women who know my story and accept me just as I am. This is my journey. I will embrace it, learn from it, and grow. I just love that.
Wonderful.
Somebody comes in with a negative spirit, and it gets wiped out in the first few minutes of the workshop.
Well, we do know this. Whether you stay in the marriage or not, whether you even have that choice, you don't have to go through life being angry, bitter, and resentful. We've had people call here. Their husband did something 40 years ago, and they're still angry.
Mm-hmm.
What a sad thing that is. And this can really help you restore the joy of your salvation and find the thing that you were created for and get on with it versus being tied down to this horrible event. Yeah, it's really good.
And if you are considering or thinking, or if you would please consider making a gift to New Life, what we do is so vital and critical these days. God does the final work, but we do everything we can to set the stage and help you make steps that He will bless and honor, and your life will mm-hmm. forever be different. So if you can support that, please make a gift to New Life and do it today.
Yeah. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You can go to newlife.com. We'll send you the Mediterranean Love Plan and seven different secrets from the Mediterranean to help you with intimacy, different levels, and 13 ideas of what to do there. Our way of saying thank you. But when you support New Life, you're not just supporting helping people feel better. You are supporting us helping people literally transform their lives. That's what we're trying to do here. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. All right, let's go to Michael, or Michelle, or Michael, one or the other. Orlando, Florida, WTLN, and hello there. How are you?
Yes, and it is Michael.
Michael, I'm having a little hard time adjusting to my new eyeballs that I got, so thank you for understanding. How are you doing today? You doing okay?
I'm doing great. Sitting in a doctor's office waiting for a test.
Okay.
On my way here, I was listening to some of your callers, and
yeah.
I wasn't sure whether to phone in or not, but I decided to take a chance.
Well, great.
We have four children. Three are grown and married, and we had our youngest son, Michael, I was 42, so we're older parents. He's 16 and a half now.
Okay.
And he's done quite well. He's homeschooled. It's kind of a hybrid school. He's at school a couple of days a week, and then we teach him at home. The classes are pretty tough. He does and has been tested to have ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
He's very good at answering questions if you talk to him, but if he has to put pen to paper, it causes him to struggle. And Algebra 2 is just tearing him up right now, the workload is pretty tough. He's doing well, but over the last 3 or 4 months, he's shot up in height. He's nearly 6 foot tall now, and he seems like his weight is actually going down. And we've talked to him about it. We see that he's not eating anywhere near the amount of food that he ate, and at his height, he's weighing at about 133 pounds, which is on a little on the light side. And it also kind of looks like, his frame is just looking thinner. We don't know what's going on.
All right.
We've asked him, is there anything bothering him? COVID's really killed a lot of social opportunities. Through his school or anything else. So he's at home quite a bit. He does play on his youth worship team. He's a keyboardist.
Good.
We go to church. He plays on his youth group on Wednesday nights. And, he has some social media.
Let me ask you this. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, Michael, did you say, is he on meds for ADHD?
No.
Oh, he's not. Okay. And does he do any self-medicating for his ADHD?
I'm not sure what that means.
Okay. Is he using any drugs?
No.
Okay. Okay. Vaping, anything like that? Because a lot of times... Go ahead.
When you say vaping, you mean like using drugs, like illegal drugs?
Well, vaping is a like an e-cigarette, vaping sticks that a lot of the kids in high school now do. Okay, so you're not seeing...
Not that we're aware of.
Okay.
We don't see any evidence of that.
Okay. So, I mean, these are just a few things when you're talking about, okay, all of a sudden he's having excessive weight loss. Now, it could be that he's just shooting up super tall, right? And so his body hasn't filled out with his height yet. And that does happen. And there, you know, I've had people in my family like this that are just super skinny, right? Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, as they start to get in, you know, especially with boys, they start to fill out more in like their 20s, right? They start to, or the we've end of that. High school. Go ahead.
Right, we've seen that with our two other our two other boys. The thing I would say is while he was growing, he ate a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he's eating less than my wife, who is not a big eater at all. And
okay, is he concerned about his weight? Is he concerned, or does he just think this is okay? Which one?
He seems to think this is okay. Don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Michael, a couple of things here. You indicated he's under a lot of stress, that certain aspects of school are hard. I didn't do well in algebra either. I never could figure out why you needed to put letters and numbers together. You know, they're letters are letters, numbers are numbers. Why
right,
put them together?
I know,
you know,
seriously.
And you know, this is too confusing. So, but if he is struggling to perform and at the level that you're saying that this is demanding, the question is, often people don't eat if they feel anxious and overwhelmed. They have no appetite. And I've felt that in my own life in the past. And so I would really explore the emotional elements of what is going on. How's he adjusting to being 16, shooting up, being 6 foot tall? How's he feeling socially? And to explore his emotions. Emotional intelligence means I can describe myself. I'm self-aware, and I have the capacity to describe the feelings and the emotions and the thoughts and feelings that go together inside my head. And I'm able to tell myself this, as well as I'm able to tell somebody else to get help for this. And so that would be really important to explore. And then, of course, we're not medical doctors, and so I would also want a pediatrician to look at him and to also ask him some of these questions as well.
Mm-hmm. To and have a physical, right?
A good physical exam, yeah. Mm-hmm. And these things are all really important. And because you never know, you know, if there could be something else going on. And so these would be some important things, Michael. And other than
that. Well, and this kid is a musician, right? Which my kid is that. Yeah. And when they get obsessed with their music, they don't eat.
Hmm.
It's like they're so into it.
I've never had that problem, personally.
he's not really so much into the music. He kind of rebels against it. He's taken piano, classical piano, for like 9 years. He's also, we try to get him to do physical activity. He has gotten a black belt in Krav Maga.
Oh, wow.
He seems to like that. And he'll go to those classes twice a week, but in between we try to get him to walk the dog or shoot some baskets.
Hold on, we'll be back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. So kind of our plan here is that he would get an assessment or a history or physical with a physician. What would be something else, guys, you think would be really good here that might change some things?
Well, I would definitely start working on developing emotional intelligence by mm-hmm. teaching him to identify feelings and words mm-hmm. that describe his inner self. And
if he's homeschooled, it could be part of the curriculum.
Well, it could be.
I mean,
but it often is not.
I know that they could include.
Not just in homeschool, it's often not in any school. The people don't
right.
teach it. Yet, interestingly, Harvard Business Review multiple times has featured emotional intelligence, and they've actually said it's the number one most important leadership quality of any to be emotionally intelligent. And yet it's so and that's not, you know, a church or anything. They're just saying it's so important. And yet we don't teach it in our schools, how to identify your inner self. We just go left brain logic, and we don't stop and ask and really understand that we are a combination of both emotions and thoughts.
Right, so, which would be maybe a good thing for them to study together.
I think it's really important, personally. So we said a medical exam and then emotional intelligence and developing that as an entire family. And then
continuing to be active.
All right. So I hope that's helpful to you. And I'll send you How We Love Our Kids. I hope that that's going to be helpful to you. I think that it can be. Let's go to Ann, Indianapolis, Indiana. WBRI is the station there. Hi, how are you, Ann? Welcome.
I am great. Thank you for the wisdom and kindness of your program.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you.
Well, you were taught well. that's a joke.
Thank you.
My children don't trust me for good reason. They are adults now. I was not a very nice parent. Mm. I never hit my children, but I was difficult with them emotionally and verbally. And I have worked on making myself better, and I know I have to leave it in God's hands, but that is really, really hard.
What have you said to them about how you feel about your parenting? What do they know about that?
They're not talking to me now.
Wow. That's rough.
Well, I'll give you a little background. There was several addictions in the family, and the big thing with addiction is denial.
Yeah.
I chose not to be in denial any longer, which did not go well down at all. Which is very normal. I understand that. But you know, I can only do something about my part.
Well, let me ask you this. Have they heard you say, I was tough on you, or I feel like I was too tough, or anything where you're saying, I wish it were different? Anything like that?
I have just started that. I wrote to my daughter and said I was wrong about talking about her, what I thought was her eating problem. Mm-hmm. Now, I have just started that.
Okay.
And I intend to continue with it. And all I can do is do that and not, they say, not figure out what the outcome is going to be. Just do it.
Right. Now, what's the specific question for us then? Because we're kind of out of time here in just a bit.
Oh, well, that was good. Just what you said was good, because any ideas I can have about how to possibly make the situation better myself.
I have one quick recommendation, Ann, which is I love that you're writing things to them, but one of the most important things we can do to create healing is to listen to people and to take a piece of paper. If you're my age, I love paper and pens. But to take a piece of paper and just say, I need to hear from you how I make you feel or how I've made you feel in the past, and then what I've done to hurt you. And I'm not going to try and defend, explain, do anything other than
listen and validate.
Wow, that would be really hard. I'm trying to learn, so that's why I'm asking you these questions. I want to be a different person.
Right, and to make sure that then you got it right. Like, is this is what I hear you saying, right?
Mm-hmm. I think it could just make all the difference in the world if you do that. And I'm going to send you a copy of Jill's book, Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers.
Mm-hmm.
because I think you can kind of guide them. As I've been saying frequently around here, everybody has to get over their mother, whether she was great or not. That's the leaving part. And if you think she was fantastic, then your spouse can never live up to her. If you think she was horrible, your spouse can never make up for her. So you really have to leave. You have to grieve what wasn't there or what you can't take with you and move on, or it impacts everything. Anything else we want to say here, guys, before we have to go?
Well, I think to be able to acknowledge the difficulty of the family system, you know, Anne indicated there were addictions and different things like that. And just to say, look, guys, we had a very hard time together, and I realize I was too hard on you, but there were really some hard things our family had to deal with. And what was it like growing up in that home?
Right.
And to really stop and, you know, go up to 36,000 feet. I used to spend a lot of time there. And really look from the higher elevation. What was it like for you in this home? What was it like for you to have an eating, to struggle with eating? I was very hard, but what was it like for you? And what was it like for you struggling with that and then having me be super hard on you?
Yeah.
And to ask those kinds of questions says to people, I'm really trying to understand how I've caused harm.
And here's the downside of them telling you how they feel and you not defending what you did. Nothing. There's no downside to it. You humble yourself. You listen. You actually dig down deep and don't defend. You actually care, whether they're right or not in your mind. You care that that's how they felt, and either you missed it or you didn't know what to do about it at the time. But now you hear it, you care about it, and you want to be different.
Right, and you can say, if that's how you experienced, I can see why you're so upset with me.
Yeah.
Right? That would feel absolutely horrible. And in that way, you're validating them. And by doing it different, like, you can't erase what happened. You can make amends, and then you can continue to operate in a living amends by doing things differently now.
And if you can't listen without defending yourself, then you need psychoanalysis. No, I'm kidding. You just you need to ask yourself, why can't I just hear? And realize it's what they experienced and accept it from that and not have to defend.
Right, and that's where processing it a lot first with someone safe, either a therapist or a friend, so that you've talked it through and you feel like somebody understands your side, so that then you can really listen and understand your kid's side.
Yep. All right. Well, we're out of time here. And I'm going to send you Take Your Life Back. I hope that that's going to be helpful to you. Any of you, if you need a resource, the folks that are on the phones at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, they know the resources, and they can tell you exactly what you might benefit from if you'll just call us and let us know the trouble. That's what we're here for. If you can help us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Come see me at 5 o'clock here for Going Deeper, and you can get that on our at YouTube and on the app, wherever New Life is. Thank you, Jill. Thank you, Mylon. See you tomorrow. Come back.
Thanks for
see
listening.
You. Bye.
We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.